What if you were born with a disease that you always knew would kill you? And then what if all of a sudden you were given a second chance? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. And it's the question that we explore on the new podcast series, Breathless, from Snack Labs. Join me, Jeremy Saunders, for a series that explores what it means to live and die, to love and to lose, and what it's like to have your whole life turned upside down and the unexpected challenges that come with a life-saving drug. You can listen to Breathless now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, wow, oh my gosh.
You look great.
Stop it. No, you look fantastic.
No, really, you look amazing.
Oh my
amazing.
Gosh, you're so nice.
Your table is ready, awesome. Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, f***er?
Dude, what? No, not right now. I'm on a date.
Yeah, exactly. You need me tonight. You know, keep you out of trouble. You know, God forbid you have a good
Man,
evening.
Okay, one night is all I'm asking for.
Okay, that's... no, of course not. That aside, I'm thinking where we go is with some intrusive thoughts tonight.
No.
What?
Nothing.
All right, so as an appetizer this evening, I'm thinking we do some thoughts about how this woman's going to find you repulsive and nitpick about everything that you do wrong. The main course, okay, I'm thinking we think about the absolute worst possible things that could happen to your family. Okay, awesome. And then for dessert, a wonderful thought about being a monster, and that's all kept deep down, and you are absolutely on the breaking point.
Yeah, I forgot to take my meds, didn't I?
Yes, you did. You did. Date night.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to Life's a Wreck, the podcast where me, Kyle Moore, and the voice in my head dive deep into the world of mental health through conversation with you guys, our amazing listeners who probably smell great and have an incredible sense of fashion, and of course, our amazing special guests. First and foremost, guys, I want to thank you guys for rating and reviewing the podcast. This week, I've actually talked with the guy in the background.
Yeah, that's me. Wait, what the f***? No, we didn't.
And we decided that if you send a screenshot of the fact you've rated and reviewed the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, he's going to record a clip saying whatever you want. You know, you can use it as a TikTok sound, a ringtone, you know, just something to listen to off the cuff.
Don't rope me into this terrible idea.
You know, I think that'd be fun.
I don't? What the f***?
I'm in charge, so.
Wow. Really?
Really? You're going to kind of put...
I'm almost proud.
All right, kiddos, joking aside, real shit. This week's episode, I have to say, honestly, it's been one of my favorites.
It'd be better if you talked less, but...
Nobody asked you.
Fair.
You know, this week on the podcast, I had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with Matt Zerker. And if you don't know who Matt Zerker is, Matt is the founder and CEO of Tether for Men, which is a men's peer-enabled mental health and well-being platform. And this platform is absolutely incredible. I'm on this platform. I checked it out when I... first kind of set up the interview with Matt, and it's this incredible community of men supporting men who are going through some mental health struggles, and it's absolutely incredible. To give you guys a bit of a backstory, before Tether, Matt was a portfolio manager at a quantitative hedge fund, try saying that 10 times fast, and CFA charter holder. I can barely even say these words.
Yeah, guy's smart.
Yeah, big time. But unfortunately, after the sudden death of a close friend, Matt went into a suicidal depression that left him on mental health leave from work and completely empty inside. This is something that we talk about in length during the episode. But it wasn't until he found a men's peer support group that things started to change. And after a men's retreat in 2009, Matt returned home to Toronto on a Monday and he quit his job on a Wednesday. And now he's been working on building Tether ever since. He's an absolutely incredible guy. I am so excited for you guys to hear this one. Without further ado, Matt, How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well, man. It's up and down for sure. When you start, like, it's interesting because for so much of my life, like, I was bullied a lot as a kid. I always kind of felt like an outsider. I always felt like I was, you know, alone a lot of the time, like at home or in school and stuff like that. And so it's like, I guess it's not ironic. It's you know, kind of perfect that I've decided that I want to start a community to bring people together. It's kind of like healing a wound that I have. And I think that, you know, when we do have these types of wounds, and much like your podcast, right? You know, we kind of go to the place that is most personal for us, because these experiences and what we do with them can also be healing. So the work that we can do, that we do out in the world, and the good that we bring into the world, is also something in a lot of ways that we're doing for ourselves. So, you know, it's interesting because, like, you know, building a company in isolation and in COVID and all of these things compounding on themselves. And then there's that feeling that it's like, I've always been alone, or I've always been kind of isolated. It's been a really interesting journey. And so, like, I'll have my days where, you know, I feel like I'm on top of the world, something gets done. You know, launching this was a huge, huge thing, just to, you know, actually bring something from just an idea to something physical that was out in the world. That meant a tremendous amount to me. And then there's times when it just feels like the world stops, right? And then you're just like, you're there with yourself, and you realize that some of the same stuff is still there. So this is like COVID generally, and this whole process for me specifically has been a really interesting learning experience, because it's actually forced me to sit with myself to a much greater degree than I've ever wanted to, or that I felt comfortable with, or that I've ever done. And, like, so personally, it's been, you know, there's been a lot of growth for me in this period of time. But with that has come, like, a tremendous amount of discomfort. So I would say generally, like, if you look back to where I was a year and a half ago, I mean, it's like night and day. Yeah, and then we can still get caught in that, like, just that up and down, and that riding of the wave.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people sort of think, you know, when you've started something like, you know, like Tether or the podcast that you've started, it's like, oh man, this is a guy that's actually, like, got it together. Right. And it's like, we're riding the wave, just like all of you. Right. It's like, it may look good. Like, it's like the duck on the pond, right? It looks kind of calm on the surface, but the legs are going like a million miles an hour under the surface just to stay buoyant. So, but I appreciate you asking. How are you feeling?
Honestly, man, quarantine has been a really nice change of pace for me. Back at school, I was, before I graduated, I recently graduated. So it was a lot. My last semester was pretty hectic, between school, an internship, the podcast, work. Like, I was bouncing around all over the place. So to be able, like, COVID was for me kind of like a blessing in disguise. It allowed me the opportunity to come home, slow down, enjoy my like post-graduation kind of buzz, you know, spend time with my family and stuff, which my, you know, my family is my biggest support system. So
great.
It was so great to be back with them. But I, you know, I definitely, as you said, it's the riding the wave. There's the ups and the downs. When I first started quarantine, I also started taking mental health medication for the first time. Which was a big thing for me. But I feel a lot better now. It's actually helped me pretty significantly.
Great.
Something that I shied away from a lot for a lot of years. And then I kind of eventually was like, you know, I have to do it. That's helped a lot. So kind of like having this opportunity to heal a lot of years of trauma while I have time to step away from, like, the real world has been really beneficial, like, to me. I mean, in New Brunswick, like, we've actually handled COVID pretty well. So I've been able to see all my friends from high school who are also home. I've been able to, you know, really kick back and relax. And it's kind of been like a summer vacation when you're a kid again, which has been kind of cool. So no, man, honestly, I'm doing really well. Really thankful for that, because, you know, a year ago, like you said, like, I don't know if I would have been saying that. So it's cool to see the path and how long, I guess, it's been, but coming out on the other side, seeing that light at the end of the tunnel and actually living in it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, right? Because it's like you have those days where it's like you feel like nothing's changed, right? And you're like, oh God, I'm still in it. And then you look back and you try and get a little bit of perspective and you're like, okay, wait, no. Something's different for sure.
Absolutely. For sure, man. No, and I liked a lot of the, like what you said at the very beginning, like having to, you know, sit with yourself in quarantine and that kind of stuff. That's, you know, and also building something that's just as much for you as it is for the community that you're trying to reach, like Tether and like the podcast. Both of those points I definitely want to talk more about, because I say constantly that the podcast is just as much for me as it is for everybody else. Before we started recording, I told you, like, I created this with the idea of making it for a younger me, something that I could have used. And I joke on the podcast all the time that who I could have used when I was 15, 16, kind of going through the deep dark parts of my life, where it was some, like, you know, 21-year-old kind of douchey looking guy who, like, didn't take himself too seriously and just talked about mental health in a way that was like casual and fun. And it's fun to be able to do that. So I'm curious, like, you know, what Tether has kind of been for you as much as it's been for everybody else.
It has been both a labor of love and the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in my entire life. On that side, when it comes to Tether, it's interesting, right? So, like, what I've struggled with the most in terms of building that is, first of all, the learning curve, right? The learning curve of starting a company. I come from the finance world. I've never done anything like this before in my life. So, you know, to me, it's just like, it's this steep learning curve, and it feels like you're kind of like gasping for air a lot of days. I've been very fortunate in the sense that I've met two incredible co-founders, and now we have another individual, Addison Brazil, who was just on our Instagram Live the other day. It was an incredible story. I've been very fortunate to have people that have not only supported me in taking the pieces of the business and running with them that, you know, I would never have been able to do myself. But then I've also been there and let me be me through the process. Like, you know, I have a tendency to kind of work in spurts, right? Where, you know, I'll sleep for 10 hours and then, like, I'll have another night where I'll sleep for two. Yeah. And like, my creativity comes in these, like, kind of chunks. And then I'll feel super motivated and I'll bang out, like, what feels like a week's worth of work in, like, two days.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how my rhythms flow. And then there's other days where, you know, I'm really not doing much. I'm kind of making breakfast or, you know, going for a walk or something like that. Just like taking that time for me. So I think the biggest thing has been learning about how I work, because, you know, for the longest time I had somebody, you know, imposing that. I was a portfolio manager. So I was like I was a manager, quote unquote. But I had, you know, our president, our CIO, our managing partner, they were all working above me. They were the ones managing the business. And then I was just doing my job below. So moving from employee to owner has been a big transition. And then the other thing that's been a huge part of this that it's funny, because, like, if I knew everything that I knew now, I definitely would never have done this because it's all of the things that you don't expect that are going to come from this that become the things that, because you think it's going to be this, like, really fun ride. And it's like, oh my God, if I could just build something that was, like, you know, I was super passionate about, I would feel like I'm on a cloud every day. And that is, like, completely not the point. And what's been interesting is that I've really had to start to hold space for a lot of other people. I've always kind of been the one, especially when you're recovering from a mental illness or you're going through the depths of it. It's very hard for you to actually help others, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're really just trying to help yourself and you're 100%. Really just trying to keep your feet underneath you. And so what's been really nice about this is that I've actually had to, just based on what we're doing, I've had to really focus on other people to a much greater degree than I ever have in my life. And it's been really nice because, like, and I think that this is something that a lot of users on our platform are realizing right now as well, is that the helping of others can be healing for ourselves too, just because it's not our problem that's on display. It's not our problem that's being processed. Doesn't mean that we can't heal through that process as well. So I think that's kind of been the biggest things that have, you know, challenged me and pushed me through this process. And it's been really nice, honestly. It's been difficult because you hear a lot of really horrible stories. Let's just be very, when you're dealing with mental health, you're dealing with like some stuff that, you know, most people have never told anybody. Yeah. And this is really the, you know, this is the muck, this is the grime, right? And you start to realize things that, you know, and especially when it comes for men, you know, the amount of eating disorders, sexual abuse, trauma, all of these things that men just don't talk about, right? That we typically associate as problems that women go through, but not men go through. It's all there, man. It's right under the surface. And it's just something that they don't feel like they have a voice to talk about. So just realizing where the extent of certain problems, especially when it comes to like eating disorders and sexual abuse, like I totally had no idea at the depth of that problem when it came to men. And now you start to realize how pervasive it is. So you start to really learn where the issues are. And then you also start to really understand why there's so much stigma around these things. Like sexual abuse trauma for a man is like, it just cuts to the core of so many men's manhood, especially when it was a man that did it to them. And especially when it was a man that did it to them that they trusted, or that was a family member or something like that. So it's just been a huge learning experience for me. And I think hopefully I'm developing a much greater level of compassion and empathy. And even just understanding that, you know, we don't need to fix other people's problems. Like nobody is broken at their core. We are all whole at our core. And I think, you know, so much of mental health and everything like that is like trying to find a fix to the problem. We got to put a Band-Aid on this. We got to do this. We got to do that. And sometimes the most powerful thing that you can do for somebody is just simply hold space, simply identify with what they're going through, relaying some of your own experience. Because, and this is something that I learned from Eric Cusin, who's the founder of Same Here Global. You know, we don't need to have an identical story in order to be able to hold space for each other. Because your story and my story with anxiety is different, and I'm sure I'm sure there's differences in our story, we've both dealt with anxiety. So there is a commonality of experience. I think it's really important that we start focusing on that, because that's what creates that kind of unifying bond. So those have been the biggest learnings and challenges of going through this whole process.
I definitely do find, especially, you know, being in this space, and when you do really start to kind of dive into it. And I mean, I signed up for Tether earlier today because I wanted to open up the app and I wanted to, I wanted to see what it was like. And obviously being a man who's dealt with some shitty mental health stuff, I was like, this is an app that I'm definitely going to get some use out of for sure. And I kind of wanted to see what it was like. And it's, you know, it's so hands-on. It's so like visual, because you actually see these people's pictures and you see these guys and you see their stories. And I mean, I can imagine that, like, you know, in my, with the podcast and stuff like that, I'll have people reach out to me once in a while and just kind of say, thank you for putting your voice out there and just kind of being a part of the solution, I guess you could say, of like, you know, actually putting it in front of people's, giving it attention. But like in your case, you're really addressing it really head on, because you're talking with these guys one-on-one, and it's like that safe space for them, which I think is really interesting. Like, you know, you talk about empathy and you talk about compassion, and that's such a huge part of men's mental health, I've found. Because like, it's amazing how many people, when I just started doing my podcast, would reach out to me, and these were guys I went to high school with, guys I played football with, you know, guys that I had worked with, and they would all kind of say the same kind of things of, hey man, like, I just want to say, like, I just appreciate that you're talking about this stuff. Like, you know, and it's a lot, man. It's a lot of my mental health to have to kind of like process it myself. As you said, process your own stuff and somebody else's. I definitely have I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, because of the fact that you do have to bear that responsibility just to a certain degree, for sure, to be that platform, kind of.
And I think it's something that we're both bearing. I mean, like, let's be clear, you're doing it too, right? And it's, you know, one of the things that kind of came to me the other day was this idea that our story is our strength, right? And I think owning our own story with respect to this type of stuff, at least for me, talking about dealing with suicidal depression, talking about dealing with crippling anxiety that wouldn't let me get out of bed, talking about the depths that I went to after one of my best friends passed away very suddenly, right? like owning that story and putting out in the world, it's like, and this is like, this is part of it, right? It's like when we can actually speak it out loud, when we can be seen sharing this, and when we can be like, held is a word that I use like with quotation marks, but like to be seen and then to not be judged for that, and just to be told, it's okay, I know how you feel, and thank you for sharing that with me. That was the most powerful thing that really transformed my life. I mean, that was why it's why I'm doing, you know, a men's peer-to-peer support community, because the first time that I ever felt that was in a men's group. And I had never felt that before in my entire life, you know, with friends or family, or it's like nobody could hold that container, that space for me, right? And this is coming back to that fix-it problem. It was like that first experience of me going into a men's group and sharing that it's like, I don't want to be here. I don't see any point in going on in life. I feel like a broken human being. And instead of, you know, it's like, well, maybe instead of someone telling me like, oh, maybe you should try a vegan diet or going working out or, you know, keto, I hear is great for your mental health, right? Like instead of all of those suggestions, which is basically what they're saying is like, here's a couple suggestions so that you stop talking about what's going on, because I can't deal with this load that you're giving me right
now. Interesting. Yeah. That's a good
point. Right? It's like they're trying to push it off. They're trying to give you a quick fix because it's like, can we please just like change the conversation?
Yeah.
Because this is uncomfortable. Right. Mm. And so in that group, what I realized it was like, I said that and they just like were like, thank you. Like, what do you need? You know, we want to honor you for being here. It was like, it was this true support that came with actually being seen and not having what I was saying like make people uncomfortable or want to push me away. Yeah. It was actually quite the opposite. And that's why the community with Tether is built as it is. We want it to feel like a hug when you come in. We want it to feel welcoming.
Yeah.
It's very much designed with that in mind so that people that join the community feel like this is their home. We want it to be your home base for connection and mental wellness and all of that good stuff. So, I mean, one of the things that happens when you join the platform, I know you haven't posted a thread yet because you would have gotten a message from me, but you know, every time a new member posts a message, a new thread, they will get a reply from me and they will get a direct message from me.
Yeah.
Right. Because I just want people to know that this is their home and I want it to come from me personally. Yeah. Because I think that's meaningful and I want to develop, you know, obviously, you know, as we grow, that's going to become harder and harder and harder to do. But right now, as a close-knit community, I think that there's an opportunity where I feel like I can develop a one-on-one relationship with every single person in the community. And that helps me. And I think, you know, a lot of people who have joined the community said, you know, thank you for doing this. This is great. And what they don't realize is like, I'm like, no, man, this is for me too. Like you're helping me 100%. Just by being here and just by sharing your story. But I think that that's a really important point. It's that as more of us share and as more of us come to, because there is this sort of shame that we have around dealing with mental illness, right?
Yeah.
And the two biggest factors, you know, especially in the men's mental health crisis, which is like, you know, it's been totally exacerbated by everything going on with COVID. Absolutely. And the two biggest things are stigma, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like if I open up and I share about my struggles, then I'm less of a man on some level.
Right.
So that's the first big piece. And then the second piece is isolation, right? And so for a lot of guys, they don't have anybody, right? Yeah. Especially as you start to get older, men over 30 report, 50% of men over 30, I think the statistic is they report having less than two people that they can speak with. Right. And then you compound that with the fact that most people are just going to tell you to eat better and go to the gym.
Right.
And there's very few people out there that can actually hold space and have that conversation with you. So we want to address both of those fundamental points of this crisis is giving men a network and a community where they can expand into a network of like-minded men who are doing the same thing, who are going through the same thing, and they can connect through the stories. And also destigmatize this whole process around men sharing openly. And I think it's really important that we model that behavior for each other. So like what you're doing too, you are modeling the behavior of being able to speak and share openly about mental health for the people in your network. And I think that's just, it's so important.
Right. Yeah. It's tough because you're making so many good points and I'm like, I want to hit on every single one of them, but I also don't want to cut you off.
Is this going to be a 3-hour podcast episode?
This might be the longest one we've had for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it's, it's so, you know, the moment that really changed my, and it actually, literally changed my life. I think it was like, I started dealing with OCD and anxiety when I was, I say my first kind of memories of it are like six. Obviously didn't really know what it was at the time, but like, you know, whether it was like rolling clothing and being really tactile with my hands, and I had to, you know, I was really worried about if I didn't say a certain phrase at a certain time, you know, people would just start dying all around me in horrific ways. And it's funny because I can like laugh about it now. But it was this crazy thing. And my entire life, obviously I kept it mostly to myself, but even when I went to therapists and that kind of stuff, it was always the, here's the solution to the problem. And it kind of just like, you know, next kind of thing. Yeah. And I remember I went to a therapist at Ryerson, and she was really what set me on the right path, because I think in our second session, I really opened up about the OCD stuff, which has been like the really tough part of my life. And she just kind of sat there quietly while I talked about it. And then the only thing that she said afterwards was, that sounds really tough. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things, no one in my life had ever kind of recognized that before. I had had relationships. I kind of briefly in not in depth detail, but I'd told some friends about it and that kind of stuff. And she was one of the first people to just go, wow, that sounds really shitty. And it was just that moment of really being like, yeah, like it is. I don't need, you know, I just wanted somebody to see that. I just wanted somebody to understand that, like, yeah, it's hard to just kind of go through every day and go through the trenches of all of this and have everybody kind of do the dismissal thing. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand. And that's why I think I really have, in this very short period of time that I've, you know, heard about Tether and I've been, you know, looking at what you're putting out there, I really love it, because it is that you get the community to just tell you that's really tough, man, and you are capable of getting through it, but we're not going to pretend like this is an easy thing or that we can completely relate to your story. It's interesting, man. I definitely, yeah, I totally get it. And then the second thing I wanted to say was, like, you know, the whole, it's not just for you, it's also for me, like the podcast, being able to model behavior, kind of like you said, which I really appreciate that, by the way, thank you.
That's true.
Being able to like model it to, you know, the masses, and I guess you could say it was an opportunity for me to like learn how to live with myself, really learn how to sit with myself. And I would talk through what I was going through mentally, and it helped me exponentially. And then I got to put it out in podcast format, audio format, and, you know, whoever it was destined to find would find it. And that was kind of the whole purpose. But at the end of the day, it was just me talking through the shit that I was going through and being able to put it somewhere. So yeah.
I want to jump in with a point there, yeah, about absolutely, like putting it out, because it's like, what I don't think a lot of people realize is like that holding it in, that not talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like that energy, that like feeling, that whether it's like a tightness in your chest or like a knife in your stomach, or a weight on your shoulder, like we all experience physiological symptoms of depression, anxiety, and mental health very, very differently. Mm-hmm. But like, that's energy that like needs to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. It's a reason why working out does really help, because it's like, you're actually physically moving it. And what I found, and I think like implicitly what you found, is that actually speaking it out,
yeah,
gives it a place to go. It gives it a place to live, right? Yeah. So one of the things that I've been told a number of years, and I don't do this nearly as much as I should, is like when you are going through that thought spiral where it's like, okay, this is the tape that I play in my head, yeah, is literally writing that out as it goes. And like, you know, be as gruesome and fierce and, you know, ugly with that as you want. It's just for you. And then one of the things that I've started to do is, once I've written all of that out, I will rip the pages out of the book. I will go and find a safe place and I will light it on fire. And then it's like, it's out of my body and it's like been burned. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I'm getting rid of it. And like, it's like a quasi like mini ceremony that you're doing with it, but it's so important to have that energy and whatever that is inside of you, it needs a place to go. And I hope that, you know, I mean, and that's why Tether's there, right? Because that is a place for that to go and to live that is outside of you as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so nice too to like, I find with men and men's mental health, like it is tough. Like the step of actually talking to your close loved ones, your family, your friends, like that's a really hard thing to do. But to talk with a community that's been set up specifically for like-minded people to kind of like who can associate with what you're going through, I think is just such a fantastic first step, because it can seem so scary as a man to be like, oh, like it doesn't seem like there's any steps in between admitting that there's a problem and telling my loved ones. And like to be able to add that middle point and say like, hey, here's just getting you on the, on your way, I think is so great, because it's like, it can be overwhelming as a man to say like, oh shit, I'm going to have to tell these people that I care about that I'm not as strong or I'm not as, you know, capable as I want them to think that I am. And I don't want them to think any kind of certain way about me. But to build that confidence in the middle spot before you, before you go to the end part is really, it's really cool for sure.
Yeah. And I think, and that's, you've kind of hit on the core piece of what I want Tether to be, and and sort of what I saw was the piece that was missing in the journey for most people when it came to mental health, right? So you have therapists, right? You have like men's practitioners, men's groups, you know, all of these different things that are designed to give men support and to provide them with a space where they can unpack this. But the problem is that most men never get there.
Right.
And the reason is because there isn't a baby step that they can take. Right. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to, and like the research is pretty unequivocal about this, is that there are significant barriers to men going to therapy, both in terms of the way that therapy is typically conducted, just doesn't resonate with a lot of guys. And then for some guys, like going to a men's group or a coach or all of these things, it's just like, it's a bridge too far for them for now. Right. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to get there in the future. And I think once men begin this journey and they start to realize how nice it is to like actually get this out and to like know that you can share openly without being seen as less of a man. And in fact, it is a source of strength. But what I think is so interesting is like, if like what I wanted to be is like, I just want to be that first step. Right. Like that innocuous first step that you can take. And by first step, I just mean like literally download the app and read what other people are saying. Like you don't have to post, like just read through it. Right. And if you read through it, what you'll be like, it's like, oh my God, that's like, that's me. And then, and you'll start to see yourself in all of these different men. And then you'll be like, oh, well maybe I can like share a little bit. And then you share a little bit. And people come to your support, and then, and like that becomes the momentum in the snowball. So that was, it's, I'm glad that you picked up on that, because that's exactly what we're trying to be, is we're just trying to be that small first step that, that any man can take. And I think so far, like just based on what we're seeing and the engagement on the platform, I think it's already happening. And what you talked about in terms of like not wanting to go from like, oh my God, I have a problem, to I got to share this with my family. There's a story like of somebody that was sharing on our platform, and the man said that he had tried to kill himself a week earlier, and it survived. And now he was like, I don't know how to tell my family that this happened. And they didn't know that this happened. And I think, you know, he tried, and then kind of like whatever he did, he just woke up. And, you know, that was that, but he, you know, he's like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to, you know, say that this actually happened. And you had like 20 people with different opinions. First of all of them saying, by the way, man, I've wanted to end my life at some point too. And some guys who have also said, and I have tried. So not only did he have people that could identify with how he felt, but then also had done what he had done and survived. And they were, and like, they were able to say, it's like, you are not obligated to tell anyone until you are fully 100% comfortable. Right. And so I think he was able to use that, and also one-on-one conversations with some guys who had actually been there. And obviously, you know, we pointed him towards crisis resources, which we have built into the app. So regardless of whether you're in the US, Canada, the UK, wherever, there is a phone number that you can call if you feel like you are of a threat to yourself or to anybody else. So we always start with that. It's like, if you are a threat to yourself, please call somebody who is a professional, because we are not professionals. We are just here to support you. But what I can say is that I felt this way. This is what my experience was. And I hope that this helps you in some way. And, you know, the messages that I got from him and other community members, like it, it like that's why we're doing this. Right. And so it's like, what's so interesting for men is like, regardless of, and this is the scary thing. So we just started our Close the Gap campaign about a day ago, or July 1st. So 2 days ago. And close the gap is we want to close the gap between two statistics, which is that 77% of men suffer from stress, anxiety, or depression, some form of it. And 40% of men report that it would take thoughts of suicide or self-harm for them to get any kind of support. So that number is way too high.
Absolutely.
And it's way too high. And we want to close the gap so that, you know, no man needs to get to the point where they feel like they want to die or they're actually doing stuff to inflict harm on themselves. We never want anybody to get there, right? Mm-hmm. So we always talk about taking that baby step when things are not at a 10, but at like a 1 or a 2
right.
or a 3, yeah. right? Like early intervention, starting to talk about these things, right? And I think that's what's so important is I think what it's going to do is it's actually going to give guys the ability to like release the pressure, hit the pressure release valve before it gets to a point where it's like, you know, they're in need of like serious crisis resources yep. or help or what. And there's no shame in that to anybody that, you know, is having those thoughts or whatever. I had those thoughts too. I've spent time in the CAMH emergency psych ward. So I've been there. I've been yeah. at a point where I didn't feel like I was safe with myself. Yeah. And so, you know, that it's a thing you can come back from. And one of my closest, one of a really close friend of mine who I met at a men's retreat, a guy and I by the name of Corey McCarthy, I can say his name because he's been on Instagram Live and he shared his story all over the place, but mm-hmm. he's like, you can lose your mind and mm-hmm. you can get it back.
Yeah.
Right. So that I want everybody to know just because you are feeling this way now does yep. not mean that you are doomed. It is not a death sentence. It yep. does not mean that you have to live like this forever. It is something that you can get back.
Yeah, dude, I trust me. I preach to the choir. I 100% understand, man. It is. Mm-hmm. And it is a I think that that feeling and I'm going to keep preaching it because I think it's great. Like, you know, with Tether, the idea that like when you can't even trust yourself, when you can't even be with yourself, and then all of a sudden it's like it's another level of loneliness because it's like I can't even like hang it, like I can't even hang out with myself, let alone like handle the world that's just outside that door, let alone the world that's in my head. And it's so overwhelming. And trust me, like, you know, when I was growing up, I have, and one of my OCD things was when I was growing up, I had just an implicit fear of death, which was kind of a interesting thing, because when you're a young kid going through some really, really weird OCD stuff, and yet you're kind of thinking like, well, I don't even know if I can kind of carry on, but that you're so afraid of the alternative, it was a very stuck feeling to have, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, and granted, I'm in hindsight so thankful for it, because I'd say more than once in my life lost my mind, quite literally, mm-hmm. and been able to get back to a point where like I'm a much better friend, brother, son, coworker, you know, everything. And I'm building a better relationship with myself, but it wasn't always like that. And I think that so many people get caught in that moment, and it sucks mm-hmm. to see, especially men, because they just, you know, they just see it as this overwhelming thing. And if I can't be who I should be to these other people, then this is kind of like the end of the road. So it's a tough mm-hmm. one, but that's why I mean, again, Tether, you know, seems like such a fantastic platform, is because it does give you that, you know, outlet to see that even though, you know, somebody might not be going through this exact thing in front of your face, somebody else has dealt with it and they've come out the other side, and it does give you that perspective, which in certain situations is so duly needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's like that modeling behavior thing, right? It's like, one of the interesting statistics that I saw around as like a barrier to men going to therapy was that, like, I think it was like 56% of men felt like, you know, oh, well, you know, you would be depressed and you would feel this way if you had the life that I had,
right.
Which implicitly what that's saying is that they don't have context for knowing that other men feel like that.
Yeah.
Right. And that there is a way out. Mm-hmm. Right. So it, what's so important is that, like, you know, if you can kind of like the light is like the best disinfectant that there is, right?
Yeah.
Like if we can shine a light and we can actually put these things out there. And that's the bit of feedback that I get over and over and over again, is that, you know, it's like once I was able to actually share it, I was able to actually, you know, it felt lighter to me.
Yeah.
And you know, one of my favorite men's coaches out there right now, a guy who I work personally with, both him and his partner, Mike Sagoon, he always talks about, it's like, if you feel it, you can heal it. Mm-hmm. Right. So like if we actually go in and actually say, okay, I'm going to feel everything that that I'm feeling right now. And for me and with Tether, part of that is actually sharing it, right? Yeah. Sharing it and acknowledging it and not hiding from it and not having it be this like sort of boogeyman that hides in your closet, but something that you're like, you know what? I'm going to share this and I'm going to say, you know, yes, this is something that I have and I would like support on that. That allows you to own it in a very different way than I think most people. And it's scary. And I totally get it for most guys, because it's like this idea is like, we've got to be self-reliant, right? We've got to fix all the problems. We've got to be the breadwinner, you know, especially for like, you know, especially for straight cisgendered men, like
yeah.
The breadwinner, these traditional gender dynamics are so powerful and we are socialized with them mm-hmm. from before we can actually make a choice about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's these image. And what's so interesting is that there was a study done by a guy named Dr. Michael Kimmel. And he found that 93% of men do not identify with the way that masculinity is portrayed in the media, which is like, that's everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be clear. Yeah. That's everyone. Nobody is like, yeah, that guy that's going out into the woods and killing a bear with his bare hands and then you know, bringing the meat back to his family. Like nobody sees themselves in that
right.
is what that's saying. Right. But what's so interesting is we still all abide by it and we still hold ourselves to that standard of masculinity.
Yeah.
And it's such bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, and we need to stop, right? Mm-hmm. But what's really, really important is that we get to do that in a way where our masculinity is intact and where it is acknowledged, right? Where it is acknowledged that sharing is a source of strength, right? Yeah. And I think that's what's so important about communities like this and you know, mm-hmm. other companies that are doing this work is actually honoring each other mm-hmm. for that process of opening up and sharing vulnerably. And that's why we have an honor badge on the platform for people that actually share really openly and honestly or give really good support. We have badges that you can hand out to people that say, I honor that, because we want people to know that it is courageous to be able to do that, which, mm-hmm. and it's just so important. I think that's really the big first step is normalizing it, you know, makes it seem like it's something that's abnormal,
right?
Right. It's just like mm-hmm. giving the space for that to like, you know, to actually be the case. And I think it's, you know, I think a lot, what's so interesting is that, you know, like you said with your friends, like most men, they're just like, oh God, thank God you said something. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, I really needed to talk about this. Right. And like, it's just that, right? Like the more we can have these conversations, the more tools that come out there, the more spaces that are created that, you know, that encourage men to do this, the more men will be able to finally take a deep breath and be like, oh, thank God. It's just like, because I can't carry this shit around anymore.
Dude, 100%. I totally, like, I'm so glad you brought up masculinity, because that is just definitely such a tough barrier to overcome, but something that I tell a lot of the guys that, you know, I talk to, or whether they're friends or whether they're just guys who reach out, is that like, I don't think that personally there's anything tougher and like more masculine than like bearing your most kind of like your most vulnerable self to the world. And kind of mm-hmm. saying like, hey, this is who I am. And there's no reason to be ashamed of it because I'm working on being better. And I think mm-hmm. that like improving yourself is so masculine, and sharing is so masculine. Storytelling is so masculine. These mm-hmm. things that have been kind of like brushed into the corner, I think are such incredible like displays of masculinity mm-hmm. because like, it's easy to keep everything to yourself and to suffer in silence. Like as weird as it is to say, like, it's easy to do that. It might lead you down.
It's painful, but it's easy.
I was going to say it's painful. It's super painful. That's what I was trying to think of the word, but yes, it's super painful.
Yeah.
But you know, it's easy and it's all, the whole process is going to be really tough and painful, but man, it is so to be able to look somebody in the eye and be your most authentic self is really, I think it's very manly, I guess you could say, for mm-hmm. sure. So I'm glad you brought up masculinity, because in mental health, and especially in men's mental health, I think like the script really does need to be flipped. To show vulnerability, I think, is tough. And to do that means that you yourself are tough and strong. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I, there's an analogy that just sort of came into my head as we were talking about this. And, you know, for the guys that are out there listening to this, right? If you are on the precipice mm-hmm. of being like, I can't take this anymore, or, you know, I need to share this. I need to get this off my chest, but I don't know where to start. it's actually an indication that you are actually at the top of the hill. So if you imagine a hill and imagine pushing a boulder up a hill, the place where it feels most unbearable is right before you get to the top.
Yeah.
Right. Of pushing it up. Yeah. Because as soon as you take that first step of sharing, of opening up, of getting the support you need, that's when gravity starts to take over. Right. That's when you've crested the hill. That's when that stone is starting to roll downhill. Mm-hmm. Once you actually open up and once you actually can be seen for exactly who it is that you are, and own that, and have other guys like say, yeah, like that's awesome. Like, and I felt that way. That's actually when the stone starts rolling down the hill and when you don't have to keep pushing it anymore. So like if you're at that point of like maximum pain, maximum unbearability, know that you're actually pretty close to the top of the hill. And it's just that next little push, that like that one innocuous share, whether it's on tether or with a friend or whatever, that's going to be the thing that pushes the stone over the edge and gets things going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Something else that I love too is the idea that, like, you know, once you really do admit what's going on to yourself, and you are able to share, whether it is on tether or whether it's reaching out to somebody, I really think that it's a really beautiful thing. And it's always kind of like, I'm a big believer, when I was growing up, you know, if I didn't want to do something, my parents would always say, hey, think about, you know, kind of like reward yourself with something. Think about something that, like, oh, you know, if I do all these different things, like, here's the light at the end of the tunnel that I could look forward to, and it'll kind of help me through the tough stuff. I think such an incredible kind of gift to give to yourself is finally meeting your authentic self. I mean, for so many years, like, when I was growing up, I only did things to make other people, whether it was laugh or to make them accept me, or, you know, do all these things. I tried to be the human with no flaws. And whether that was in relationships or as a son or anything, as a friend, like, I was just taking bits and pieces of other people and trying to incorporate them into myself. And it just kind of threw me deeper and deeper down this hole to the point where I didn't even recognize myself anymore. And which led to a lot of self-loathing and that kind of stuff.
For sure.
One of the biggest things that I've noticed with going through this journey over the, especially this past year, you know, starting to take medication, meditation, all this kind of stuff, really becoming more healthy, is I finally get to kind of like accept who I am, and I finally get to meet my authentic self. And it's a really cool introduction to have, to say, like, hey, like, this is kind of like a lot better than going through, than trying to be the other guy who I didn't even know who that guy was.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't have
to. That guy was an asshole.
Yeah. That guy was kind of a dick. And like, this guy is like, you know, this guy might still kind of be a dick, but like, he's trying. Yeah, but at least he's trying. And like, you know, and I don't have to be loved by everyone. I understand that some people won't like me, but as long as I'm making myself happy and I'm doing, and the immediate people in my life are, you know, I'm doing something that just brings me joy and that I know, you know, makes them kind of proud. Like, that's a really nice thing to strive for. And I think that, again, tether allows that to happen. So it's it's really good. I did want to kind of jump gears just a little bit, because I did, you know, when you kind of talked about your background a little bit, I kind of do, you know, if you're comfortable with sharing, I'd love to get a little bit more backstory about kind of what led up to actually the idea to create tether and why it was so important to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great question, and I'll try and make this story as quick as possible, which I have trouble with. So I mean, again, I've struggled with anxiety and depression and, you know, a wandering mind, let's call it, my entire life. Basically, it's like I couldn't be in my own thoughts. Like, it felt like, and even to this day, some days it feels like my thoughts are attacking me and I can't get any space from them. But, you know, it was overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I had, you know, like, I was severely neurotic. I was very, I was like, you know, I was really deeply, I had this fear that everybody didn't like me, right? Like, I had this deep, deep fear that nobody liked me. And this came from, you know, years of bullying when I was a kid. I always felt like I was on the outside, never felt like I had any friends. And that was a really, really tough thing to feel so isolated as a child. You know, that lasted most of my childhood. And then, you know, I think that there was underlying mental health issues there from my family and stuff like that. Like, you know, it runs in the family, and this is something mm-hmm. that's very common. It gets passed down. So there was that piece of it too, but it was all kind of exacerbated, and it was just this profound, deep need to feel belonging and connection. And I was just like, I was just deeply insecure. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, I always did things to try and, you know, remedy that. I tried to be, you know, the funniest person there, the most athletic, yeah. right? Like all of yeah. these kinds of things, like, you know, drinking more than everybody else, you know, partying harder than everybody else. Yeah. And that ended up leading me to basically failing out of university after my mm-hmm. second year. I went to Western after high school, failed out basically after second year. I went to rehab when I was 20 years old. So, you know, I had a problem with a couple of substances, and I decided that it was untenable with my family. And I went into rehab as a 20 year old. I came out, I spent 5 years completely sober. You know, there's things that I've left behind, you know, like I'll still have beer and wine and stuff like that. But like, you know, there was some other substances, like cocaine that I just like, I've turned my back on forever because it's just absolutely sends me into the worst possible space. So I figured out what has worked for me and what hasn't worked for me. And you know, I'm very grateful for that experience because I really believe that it was, you know, my first time, actually starting to deal with some of my stuff. So I went through all of that. You know, I started in finance. I built a really nice career. I became a CFA, which is a chartered financial analyst. I became a portfolio manager at a hedge fund, which was like great. You know, I went back to school in that time as well. And I'm kind of jumbling the timeline a little bit, but like I went back to school. I graduated top of my class out of U of T, got a job at a hedge fund, worked my way up to a portfolio manager, got my CFA. And from the outside, it all looked pretty good. Like, you know, I was making a good, you know, good amount of money. I had a title, and I was still just like profoundly empty inside. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know, I was still anxious. I was still, you know, massively insecure. And I was doing all of this stuff, not for me, but, you know, because I wanted other people to like me and other people to tell me that I was like a good boy, basically. Yeah. And then the turning point. So I was fortunate enough, I moved into this place in the West End of Toronto, and this, I will be swearing during this part, so this is something that you're going to have to bleep out.
No worries.
I got this new place. It was a brand new build. I'm sitting out on my balcony one day, and there was a balcony sort of kind of kitty cornered, like a little bit, like kind of across the way from me, but not like right across the way from me. And there was another guy standing on this balcony, and out of nowhere I hear, he's like, "Hey, who the fuck are you?" And we just started like struck up this conversation. We started chatting. It turned out that I had cable. They didn't. They came over for the Raptors game. And that was the beginning of this really awesome friendship. And over the next few years, he became one of my closest friends. His name's Christian. You know, in sort of late 2017, he, like around Christmas time, he developed a pneumonia. Mm. And it was fine. Like, you know, most, you know, there's a lot of people that get pneumonia in a young age, and, you know, 30-year-old man usually recover from that. But it was just kind of lingering with him. Mm. And one day in early January, he started to actually vomit in the bathtub. And his roommate at the time was like, "Okay, we got to get you to the hospital. This isn't getting any better. We need to get you some treatment." I still remember that day. It's very much etched in my memory, and I know it is for a lot of his friends and his parents and his siblings or mm-hmm. sibling. And you know, they called the ambulance. They couldn't get the gurney up the stairs because the stairwell was too tight and couldn't fit it up there. So they had to walk him outside. And as he was about to take the step to get on the gurney, he just dropped to the ground and he never got up.
Wow.
And so he passed away right there, like on the front steps in front of his apartment, in front of our apartments. And from there, I think, like, you know, when those types of things happen, when you lose somebody so close to you at such a young age, kind of one of two things can happen. Either it's like you're the kind of like, "I'm going to live every day like it's my last" type thing, or you go into this whole, like, what does it all mean thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I definitely went down the what does it all mean thing. And that was like the darkest period of my life. That was when I couldn't get out of bed. I was so anxious. I was so afraid of death. I was suicidally depressed for a period of time. I went on mental health leave at work. I couldn't work. I just couldn't focus. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do anything really. And I was just like, you know, constantly calling my parents, you know, just like, I just felt like I needed support. I felt like a child, yeah. Really. I felt like I needed constant care and I didn't want to be alone at all because I was just so afraid, so sad. And with not knowing how to basically, you know, unscrew myself from this situation. And then of course I missed my friend tremendously. And it just, you know, I didn't know what to do with myself. And it wasn't until November of that year. So this is almost like, so this happened in January, passed away in January. I go on mental health leave in September. And then a friend of mine from back in the day, we end up having a conversation. It turns out he's training to be a therapist. Hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm actually going to go join this men's group. You know, maybe you want to come and join. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And that was that moment where I walked into that group and I could say, like, I'm not okay. I don't see any point in going on. And right. Those men just held the space for me. Hmm. And there was something small that shifted for me in that moment. And if we fast forward like a few months later to April of 2019, I decided to go on my first men's retreat with this organization called Every Man Down in the States. Mm. And on this men's retreat, I had this like profoundly, it was just a profound life-changing experience. I had been waking up with panic attacks every day for the previous like 9 months. Or, you know, maybe even close to a year at that point. Like, yeah. And it wasn't a choice. It wasn't like a panic attack would come on in the morning. Right. It was that I would wake up into a panic attack.
Wow.
Right. And it was like, it was so, it was just like, it was like, I just felt like I can't get any, like, I can't get a break from this. Mm. I can't even get into my day without something bad happening.
Yeah.
Or without feeling this way. And so I went on this thing, and after the first night of that retreat, I woke up in the morning, and it was the first morning I woke up when I was able to actually lie in bed in peace. Mm-hmm. And I was just able to lie there. Wow. And just like enjoy the sheets and the window, the light coming in through the window. And I was just like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I come back from the retreat on a Monday. I sat down at my desk, and for a while I had felt like finance wasn't right for me. And I sat down at my desk on the Monday and I just had this moment. I was like, nope. Mm. And I just like, I knew in that moment that it was like, I wasn't going to be working in finance anymore. On the Wednesday, I quit my job. And I've been on the journey of building Tether ever since. Wow. And it took a few iterations to figure out what I actually wanted to create. I wanted to initially do something in the mental health space. Mm-hmm. And I realized there was just a lot of these apps out there that were doing like CBT or thought mm-hmm. records or journaling or meditation or whatever. And I was like, there wasn't anything that like I was going to be able to do better in that.
Right.
Then I was having a coffee with a friend one day, and just sort of out of nowhere, he made this innocuous comment, and it just like kind of clicked in my head. And I was like, oh my God, like that's it. And then I started doing some research, and I'm like, oh my God, there's nothing out there that is like literally just for men to connect with each other and have these open conversations. And that was the seed. And I've been building Tether ever since.
That's awesome, man. You should be that's a pretty incredible story, man, for sure. Like that's a lot to go through, and then to come out on the other side and be doing what you're doing and creating what you're creating. So it's, I hope that doesn't get lost in the hectic life that I'm sure you're living right now.
Yeah. You know what, man, I'm most days right now, I'm like, I experience more gratitude and peace than I really ever have.
That's awesome.
In a long time, and coming from the place that I did. And it's sometimes like, it's weird because I'm like, oh my God, that men's retreat, like, was April of 2019. So it has been basically just over a year since. Wow. And then like, I was at a point where I was like, you know, I was really down because certain things weren't happening and I just couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel and blah, blah, blah. And then I looked and I was like, wait a minute, like this time last year, I was still completing my 1 month, like after I'd quit my job.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I worked for an additional month after I quit because, you know, for like, and I just want to say like the guys that I worked for at Resolve Asset Management, they were supportive. They were loving. They did everything in their power to make sure that when I said, I can't do this anymore. And I'm actually like starting to well up a little bit just talking about this because the way that they treated me was like, you could not ask for more supportive people between those three men that were there. And a lot of the empathy and compassion and like leadership, like that I hope I can, you know, employ one day, as we grow Tether, really does come from how those men treated me. So, it's been a pretty wild year and a half, I guess. You're catching me at an interesting time in my life.
Well, I'm glad. That's great, man. I've got two quick questions for you.
Yeah.
At the end of every episode, I like to give the people who are listening, I like to have the guests that I have on issue a challenge, something that, you know, my listeners can incorporate into their week, their month, or their entire life, something that will help them with their mental health. What's a challenge you'd put forth to the listeners today?
Oh, download Tether and post a thread.
There we go, man.
Yeah, it's easy, man. Just start the journey. Really, though, you know, download the app. It's on the App Store.
That was going to be the second question, by the way, was how to download, like how
yeah,
to
get yeah, yeah.
Together. So I'll pull
it all into one. I'll give you the challenge and I'll give you the stretch that you can accomplish and how you can do it. You can go into the App Store. Right now, it's only available on iOS. We're hoping to build an Android version in the coming months. So I apologize to any Android users that are out there that have been listening this whole time and are like, I'm going to download this app and now I tell you that it's iOS. I'm sorry. We are hopefully building that very, very soon. We will be building it at some point. It just, you know, it's going to take some time. And I would say like download the app. You can type Tether for Men in the App Store. Or you can like type Tether Men's Community, and that's spelled T-E-T-H-R, so there's missing an E there, so T-E-T-H-R Men's Community, Tether for Men, all of it works in there. You can download it, set up a profile. Setting up a profile takes you like 2 or 3 minutes, so it's really super quick. And then what I would say is like just scroll through, just look at some of the conversations that are happening. Take, you know, honor a post, right? It's there's an honor badge in the bottom left hand corner. Honor a post for someone that has really gone deep and shared something vulnerable about themselves, and like reply to them and just say, hey man, that's super brave of you. I'm here for you. And if you're really feeling like it, and I can guarantee you, this is a safe, barrier-free space where you can talk about anything. And you'll see that just from flipping through, you know, there's men talking about every possible thing that you can imagine, but go in and just throw it out there to the community, see what comes back. I promise you that I will send you a message personally on the app. And I can guarantee you that you're going to find that more people feel the way that you do than you think.
Mm-hmm. I love that, man. That's, anybody who's listening to the podcast, I'll put the links in the description of this episode. And we can, definitely go check it out. I can tell you from firsthand experience and the limited experience that I've had, it is, it's a pretty incredible app. So make sure to go check that out, guys. Matt, bro, I appreciate you, man. This has been a lot of fun.
This has been great, Kyle. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Guys, I want to thank Matt for coming on the podcast today. The link for Tether is going to be in the description of this episode. You know, what do you guys think about the episode? Let me know at Life's a Wreck Podcast.
Or honestly, don't. I don't blame you.
Here we go. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something differently this time.
Sure.
What did you like about the podcast the most?
Wait,
what? Yeah, what were your favorite parts of the episode?
When you weren't talking.
No, seriously.
Oh, well, fuck, man. I don't know. I guess it's cool that there's a community for men. You know, who are there for each other. You know, you could argue that that's been missing.
Okay, and?
Yeah, I mean, Matt's story is one that it's inspiring. And the fact that he recognized the elements of his life that were keeping him down and in kind of like a bad mental health space seems like an effective first step for a lot of guys to take. You know, he's got a lot that you could learn from.
Wow, that's funny. I couldn't have said it any better myself. That's so funny.
It's really not that funny.
Something I took away from this episode was the fact that Matt went through so much. You know, he was suicidal, he lost people close to him, and he still thought throughout this entire process, not throughout the entire process, but he came to the conclusion of how can I help men around me? And how can I heal myself while also helping other men heal? And I think that that's so important in the world of mental health, to have that how can I help mentality, because so often you get caught in kind of the throes of mental health and you're going through the shit. And honestly, I can speak from personal experience and say that I absolutely, when I was going through my deepest, darkest areas of mental health, I can 100% say that, like, I wasn't really thinking about anybody else but myself. It was just kind of this huge pity party. And it took me a really long time to think, hey, I'm actually doing so much more healing collectively by sharing what I was going through with all of you. And I kind of wish that I had figured that out sooner. And that's something that I definitely respect and really admire about Matt, was the fact that this was kind of his purpose. He quit a really great job because this was his purpose, to help other men in his situation. And I just think that that's great. I think we need more selfless people like that. You know, there are good people. There are great people in the world of mental health. And Matt's a great example of that.
You know, there are also some annoying ones, case in point, the host of this podcast, but we won't get into that.
Make sure to follow him on Instagram at Matty Zerker. That's MattyZerker. And check out Tether. Again, putting a link down below. I'm on there. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, this isn't an ad or anything like that. It's just a great platform and one that I 100% support and believe in. And I can't wait to see it grow. You know, check it out, guys. And I guess I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you in 2 weeks. This is a tandem. We'll, it's like half my show,
yeah,
pretty much.
Sorry. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Yeah, because I got to bring you along everywhere, eh? You know, check us out on Instagram at Life's Direct Podcast and me at Morzy, MoorzyY. And as I'm sitting here finishing up this episode, I just can't help but think, and I don't know why, but I just can't help but think that life's a wreck. See you guys in 2 weeks.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.